And it says here in Acts 1 verse 8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Melinda has had the opportunity in the past to start a work down there, or to help start a work. We didn't really start it. We just pulled a few strings together to get the Church of Coastline started. And that was in 2000, the year, I'm not sure what year that was, it was late 2000s that happened. The church was going there. Pastor Dan DeLong was got that church running real well. And they were diligent in preaching and serving the Lord, and souls were getting saved, and that was a real blessing. It was a blessing for us up here to be able to see that work going on down there. And then it was a blessing when Brother Dan handed the church over to Pastor James Herrington, and to see that work continue and to grow, and to see how God led the church down there over the years that Pastor James was down there too. But then when God called Pastor James and his family to a different ministry, and praise the Lord, they are now over there in Mauritius serving the Lord there, the Church of Coastline slowly folded away. All right, I'm just giving this little bit of a background here, because it was actually this week that someone mentioned, and they thought we were still working there at Coastline. And I'm just saying that because, sadly, Coastline doesn't exist anymore, and it's finished. And, we're letting that rest. But about 2 years ago, just shy of 2 years ago, some of the remnants of that church came up here to Melinda, and Pastor James had encouraged them to come up and to have a chat with us, and we... In Melinda, as the church here in Melinda, we asked them, what can we do to help yous? And one of the young men that came up, he said, "We want our old church back." And that was something the Lord really stirred on my heart, Lauren's heart, James and Tia at that time, that we couldn't go and give that church back to them. We couldn't go resurrect Coastline. And that was a good thing. We didn't need to do that. But we wanted to go and help them out and start services down there. And for the last year and a half, we've been doing Sunday morning services. James and Tia have been helping. They've gone there. Aiden and Abby have been helping out with that. Pastor John has obviously been behind this. Brother Buddy, Callum and Isaac and a few others have been down to help out. And then the church has also had that backing of reaching out for this little group of believers down there. It's about 15 to 20 people, depending on who's on holidays. But, you know, they're faithful and they keep coming. We can't scare them away. They just keep coming back. There have been some people come through and visited over the last year or two, and they've come, they've seen, and, you know, it wasn't for them, and they've moved along, and that's fine. But it's been just a blessing to see that group continue and to grow. We had a blessing yesterday. We went down with them and went letterboxing. We've sort of tried to make it a habit to go letterboxing down there in Cairns every school holidays if we can. This last term, January to now, they took on their own initiative to go and start letterboxing every week. And that's just encouraging. The ladies down there, they've been going, you know, this is the hottest part of the year, and they've been going out every Saturday just to go and put out a lot of tracks. They've pretty much put out 5,000 tracks in the last 10 weeks, nearly 5,000. And that's just a blessing and an encouragement. They have a longing for a church to get started down there again. Right now, we're really just a fellowship. But the Lord has definitely been working down there. We pray that He continues to work. So we're in this position in Acts verse 8 here. It says God's challenging, the Lord Jesus is challenging the disciples, is that you're going to be a witness here in Jerusalem, and then you're going to move forward and be a witness elsewhere. And we, in the last 40 years, Cairns was the outreach up here to the Tablelands. But now the tide has turned, and we're outreaching back down to Cairns. And so that's a bit of a report what's happening down there. We've got we're hiring a little hall down at Warree, the little community hall. We got a piano and, well, keyboard and different things, and we have a Sunday evening service. We're now having a Thursday night prayer meeting service too, which has been a blessing also. But I'm just going to be honest and say this, I believe the Lord would have me and Lauren to move down there and to take the church if Melinda is willing to send us. and if they're also if the folk down there are willing to have us. So this is I guess in a sense a more of a not a warning, but an FYI, I guess, an info for everyone here that, you know, the Lord's burdened me and Lauren with this service, with this work, this ministry down there, and there is a need, and there is a cry that they're seeking God's word, and they're seeking a good godly church to be started. And as the Lord leads, maybe towards the end of this year or early next year, we might be able to make that transition down to Cairns. But let's put that bit aside for now. Let's get into some preaching here. We're in, so again, Acts 1 verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Let's pray and let's get started. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this time that we can be studying your word. But Lord, that you would stir us in our hearts and in our minds and our souls, Lord, that we would be listening and willing and diligent, Lord, now to hear what your word has to speak for us, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would have liberty this morning, and Lord, that you would just guide and bless this time, Lord, as we gather together around your word. And I pray this now in Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's look at that phrase here in this verse, witnesses unto me. What's a witness? Let's do some audience interaction here. Someone help me out. What's a witness? Grandma, you didn't put your hand up. Half up. Someone who?
What?
That's exactly right. Ben? Yes. So basically, you guys, if you didn't hear what Ben and Grandma just said, a witness is someone who has seen something happen. We have, in a court of law, you'd have some witnesses that have seen a crime happen, and they are called to testify for or against a person. All right? Well, that is really a good way to put this, what this term is. But here the Lord Jesus isn't using it in the term of witnessing against, but as witnessing for. Okay? He says to his 11 disciples here, and you shall be witnesses unto me. He's telling them, you have a job to do. You have seen this work that I have performed here on earth, the Lord Jesus is telling them. You have seen the ministry. You've heard the teachings. You've witnessed the miracles. You've seen the resurrection. You've seen the crucifixion happen. And you've also seen the resurrection happen. You're witnesses unto that. And because you're witnesses unto that, you need to now go and tell. Don't be a quiet witness. How many, sad to think, how many crimes have gone unresolved? How many people that should be locked up for things that they have done because a witness wouldn't get up and speak? They're too scared to speak. And so then that is also on us too as Christians. How many people are lost and haven't heard the gospel because they're the witness didn't get up and speak up of what the Lord has done. The Lord gave us, or gave the 11 disciples here specifically this command to speak up, to preach, and to teach the gospel. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, the gospel. Verse 1, it says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, the good news, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. Verse 2, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. The apostle Paul summarizes here the gospel, and he again mentions those witnesses, and there's more than just the 11 that saw the Lord Jesus raised from the dead, and saw him alive again, and there was, what's it say, 500 people there. That's a good amount of witnesses to prove something happened, isn't it? You know, it's not just one, not just two, but that's 500 people speaking up and saying that the Lord Jesus truly did rise from the dead. He is King of Kings, Lord of all. But it says here, the gospel, the good news, is that Christ died for our sins. And that he paid the price that we couldn't pay for our sins. He paid that debt, and he paid the debt for the whole world, so that if any man would believe and have faith in the Lord Jesus, they can have their sins forgiven. That's the gospel, and that's the witness that we need to be carrying and sharing around this world. Go back there to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1 again, and again it says here, "And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Here's a question for you. Where's your mission field? Where are you being a witness at? Who are you? Who is the group that you are telling of the gospel to? Yeah, that makes sense. Who's the group that you're telling the gospel to, the good news to? Now, some people get called to Jerusalem, and some people get called to Judea, and some people to Samaria, and some people to the uttermost part of the earth. Those are four interests. We'll look at that in a second on the board. But not everyone has the same mission field. Some people have the mission field of where they're at directly. Some people it's further afield. Some people it's overseas. And some people it's to places where traditionally, you wouldn't want to go. Let's have a look at my cute drawings. Isn't it cute? Donald reckoned it was cool. It was good, wasn't it, Donnie? I've got a picture here, okay? Because this is this is me, this is you, this is the Christian. Sorry, Chris. Can you see that now? Yeah, okay. And the Christian, when you get saved, it's your responsibility, the Bible says here, to go and preach where you're at home, in your Jerusalem. This guy, and that's, this guy here is looking out on his horizon. And he's looking towards where God would have him to be, and what would God have him to do. And straight up, the first place he can see is his local little Jerusalem. What is that? That's your family. That's your church that you can serve and work in. That's your community around you. That's your extended family up and down. That is your workplace, your little Jerusalem, where you need to be out serving and preaching, and if not actually all the time speaking and telling the gospel, but living it. Okay, because that goes hand in hand. If you're going to, you got to have a balance there of living and practicing what you preach, as well as telling it to others too. But some people, God would burden their hearts that Jerusalem isn't the only place that they should be reaching out to, but it should be also to Judea. So imagine when the early church was started, that it was started basically from Jerusalem. After Pentecost, right here at Acts, the 11 disciples are in the region of Jerusalem, and that's where God told them to stay until they received the Holy Spirit. So they were there for that time, but here the Lord tells him, preach here at Jerusalem, but then you're going to go one step further, your horizon's going to get bigger. Go and preach around the town too. Preach to the region of Judea. And that's a blessing to see. When a young person gets saved and they go out and tell their friends and they do what they can where they're at, but then they see a need further afield. Because not all the lost people live in Jerusalem. They live in the regions about too. And all those people that need to hear that glorious gospel, they are out there. And we need to go out there and see them too. The region around. Preach the gospel in towns around. Like we said, Melinda is now, in the sense here at Melinda, we have been diligent for 30-something years now to preach the gospel here at the church and in the regions around now. You know what's encouraging is that we've had the Bible study up there in Raven so for 30 years, 29 years, something like that. And for 29-something years, those ladies up there have been praying for the Lord to do a work in Raven so. And it's been just this last couple of years that with the youth group that's been happening up there, that something's happening. It's amazing. Nothing's happened in Ravensow, nothing godly or good that I know of. I'm not saying God hasn't been working there, but it looks like he's starting. And that's just encouraging. Be diligent in preaching to the regions around. Don't give up. Don't give up. So we have the... Pastor, you were at the markets yesterday with the senior teens. That's preaching in Judea around the church. We have kids that come from Atherton to come to youth group here. You know, there are opportunities all around the tablelands that we... God has been working and using. Keep it up. Don't give up. Preach the gospel in all of Judea. But then we have on our list here in Acts, we have Samaria. Yeah. Samaria, that's the place that the Jews didn't like. Those are the people group the Jews didn't like. And the probably was back the other way. The Samaritans didn't like the Jews, I'm sure. The Jews didn't like the Samaritans because the Samaritans had mixed the religion of the Mosaic law with the religions of the pagan nations around. And they had made this corrupt belief system. The Jews hated them for it. Didn't like them. Wouldn't go near them. And yet the Lord Jesus says, here, go to Samaria. Go to that place that you wouldn't want to go. Go to those people that smell funny, look funny, and talk funny. We're all hillbillies up here, so I can say that. You know what I mean. Places you don't like. It's too hot there, I wouldn't go there. It's too cold there, I wouldn't go there. It's too busy there, too much city there, too much country there. We have places we don't like, but man, those people there still need to hear God's word. But then also to the uttermost parts of the earth, this person here, he's looking, and the first thing he's done, and he's working diligently at Jerusalem. But then he's seeing further away. And then maybe not the Lord has called him to Judea, or maybe he hasn't called him to necessarily Samaria, but you will find those Samarian places everywhere you go to preach, those places you don't like. But maybe he's calling us. Now, this is meant to be the world. Okay, if you didn't get that, that is Australia. And there is more countries on the world than just Australia. I get that, but I couldn't draw any of the rest of them. I did put New Zealand there, okay? That's New Zealand. All right, but there are other countries out there. It's a blessing to have the Dagans serving the Lord there in PNG. It's a blessing to hear of the Johnsons over there in East Timor, the Harringtons over there in Mauritius, others that have given their lives for decades overseas. I think of Brother Bob Hawke. Pray for him. He's not doing too well health-wise. He's 82 years old, and he's still pastoring in Mexico. And he's been doing it for 50-something plus years to the uttermost parts of the earth. Let's go to Mark 16. The mission field gets bigger with each step of faith we take. We need to be diligent to take those steps of faith when the Lord prompts us to do so. Mark chapter 16 and in verse 15, I don't know if you guys realize this, but in each of the Gospels there is a little reference to the Great Commission. The Great Commission is given 5 times. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts. Acts 1 verse 8 is the Great Commission. Go ye therefore into all the world and preach to the nations. Mark 16 verse 15, it says here, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Go ye, preach ye, teach the gospel, carry it to wherever you can, wherever God would have you to take it. Go to Luke chapter 24. Luke 24 and verse 46. Verse 45, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Lord Jesus told his disciples just to wait a little bit. You'll get anointed with the Holy Spirit and then go. Go and preach. Go and carry that gospel around. You know what is sad is that they didn't. They really stuck in Jerusalem and in that maybe Judea, maybe a little bit outside Jerusalem, but it wasn't until Saul came and persecuted the church so much that you see the Christians start going out and moving around, the gospel being spread throughout the world. I guess in a sense, don't make God have to force you to go. Go willingly, go now. Serve him when you serve him as you can. Let's go to Matthew 28. Matthew 28, and this would be probably the most common verses, passage that we think of when we refer to the Great Commission. In Matthew 28 and verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Each time the Lord gives this great commission in these five passages, he's giving it to the same 11 people. So does that mean the Great Commission is just for the disciples? And does that mean it was meant to finish there? They were to go do their bit, and then that was the end. I've heard people say that. That's it. It was only for the disciples. And that's not what this verse here says. Because it says to go that ye therefore and teach all nations. And then it goes to say in verse 20, teaching them to observe all things that I have taught you. All things that I have commanded you. Which means if God has commanded the 11 disciples to go out and preach and teach and spread the gospel, that they are also to go and preach and teach, tell others to go and preach and teach the gospel too. So the Great Commission was given to all believers. It's the responsibility of the church. It's the responsibility of everyone that has their faith and trust in the Lord to go and tell others that are lost and need to be saved. Notice here, notice the authority that the Lord Jesus gave the disciples and gave us as his disciples. It says here in verse 18, all power is given unto me. That's the Lord Jesus saying he is in authority, he is in control. He has the ability to give this task, okay? And then he says for them to go. We have the message to give. And that message comes from God. And we have the authority of God to give that message. We have been, we are in a sense ambassadors. In fact, the Bible describes us as ambassadors. A person that goes to represent, if the Australian government can send someone to another nation to represent the Australian government, and to give a message, to tell them what the Australian government thinks. And that person is the ambassador. He's been given the authority to go and tell that message. He's been given that responsibility to go and tell that message. That ambassador, when he is overseas, he is representing the entirety of the nation of Australia. Hopefully he's doing it in a good way. How sad when people don't live up to the responsibility they have been placed in. But we are also, as ambassadors, we also have that authority that God has given us Christians, the job and the mission to go out and preach and go out and teach and go out and tell. So when you get discouraged and when you say, what am I doing here? Well, who sent you? Was it God? Well, if he sent you, then you have the authority to be doing that. You have the authority to be going out and telling that message. But what if the people don't want to hear my message? What if the people don't want to hear the gospel? Well, that's up to them. You do what God told you to do. Go and preach the gospel. So we have the authority there. Notice this mission field. In verse 19, it says, and teach all nations. That word there, nations, and the Greek and all that type of stuff, has the idea of ethnic groups. Go and teach all ethnic groups. That's not just go to the cities. That's not just go to, again, the people that we want to speak to and the people that we most connect with culturally or whatever. But go out into all those different little groups of people across this world, because they all deserve to hear the gospel. They all need the gospel. That's a big job. Chris, I forget, how many languages are there in New Guinea? Like, was it 5,000 plus or something? More than 1,000? Okay. Yeah. Which, they're all representing different ethnic groups as such. You know, that's one country having so many different languages. And they all speak it in a different way, and they all have a different accent or whatever. Each one of those people is important to God, and we have to go out and preach to them and teach them. That's the end of the world. Go ye out there. Teach all nations. Don't be a respecter of persons. Don't pick and choose who you want to preach to. That's God's choice, not yours. We need to be living in obedience to the Lord. All right, number three here. Notice the one that sent us, or sends you, promises to go with you. All right? You're not going out by yourself. It might feel like you're by yourself, but you're not. Have a look there in the end of verse 20. It says here, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. That's an encouraging verse. Because sometimes we feel like we're doing and laboring and struggling by ourselves. But we're not by ourselves. God's there with us. The Lord Jesus is with us. The Comforter is living inside of us Christians. He is with us always. You can't outrun God. I should say that differently. Sometimes we step where God wouldn't have us to step. So in that sense, we can run away from God. But you can't, no matter how far you go, no matter how far you walk in this world or travel in this world, God is there. He is everywhere. He is omnipresent. That's the one. Let's go to Matthew 13. This is the parable of the sower. Pastor taught us out of this passage a couple of weeks ago now. Taught us out of this parable, I should say. Matthew 13 and verse 3. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. And other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Generally speaking, when we study this parable to learn the lessons from it, we really focus on the soil types. And often we don't consider the person that was sowing the seed. Let's just have a little bit of a think. We'll consider him for a moment this morning. We have the soil types. We have good. There is that, and we know the soil types represent or describe the condition of a person's heart. All right, some people's heart would be like the good soil that is ready to receive the seed, the word of God, and when they receive it, it grows in their life and bears fruit. Some people's hearts are ready like that. Some people's hearts are full of stones. It's a lot harder for the seed to do a work in a heart of stone. And some hearts are full of weeds, that the weeds choke the word of God out, and that the word cannot grow. The seed, the weeds, overpower the word of God there. And then we have the wayside soil also, the hard ground on the side of the way, where people probably trod on that too, and it's too compact, and when the seed is sown onto it, the seed just lies on the top and the birds come down and snatch it away. But what should the sower be doing? Well, he's being diligent. He's going out and sowing the seed. He's going out and preaching God's word. He's going out and he's gone to his paddock, and on the good soil where it's nicely tilled up and it's ready, and he's spread the seed there, and he's received a good harvest because he was diligent in doing God's word and preaching the gospel, and the word worked in that person's life. And that's a blessing, that really is, when the people get saved and grow in the Lord and continue in the Lord. But this farmer has a farm, and not all ground on the farm is good ground. Sometimes the farmer has to go out and do a bit of work first. You know, you get the plow out and you start plowing over the soil and you find all these rocks there. Well, the farmer goes and has to pull the rocks out. Are we as Christians, when we're witnessing and helping and working with people, are we helping to, I'll clarify this in a moment, but to remove the rocks? Are we getting our hands dirty when we're sowing God's word? Are we out there pulling weeds? What happens when the field's full of weeds? Well, you can't necessarily sow, well, you shouldn't really sow in the weeds first. You need to get rid of the weeds so that there's room for the seed to get to the soil, and so that the weeds aren't then going to choke out that young plant as it grows. What are we doing? Are we helping with removing the weed? But sometimes God has it so that when we're diligent in serving him where he already has us at, all right? But the mission field needs to get bigger. Paddock needs to get bigger. And there's that wayside road in the middle that's all hard and packed down. And if you dug that up, that'd be more area to sow seed that would work, seed that would have a chance to grow. So what's the farmer got to do sometimes? He's got to go get the plow out and dig up that hard ground. And that might take a lot of effort, a lot of work, and it does. But that's what the farmer needs to be doing. That's his responsibility. Now, I said I'll clarify in that in the context of this parable, all right, it's our responsibility as Christians is to help someone and bring them to Christ. But it's not our responsibility to pull all the motes of specks of sin out of their lives. That's for them to deal with God, okay? So sometimes a person has a rock in their life, a hard thing, something that they won't let go. And that's for them to yield to God. All right. Generally speaking, a Christian can either confuse or pressure a person into yielding up their rocks, but they're only responding because someone told them to do it, and they're not responding because the Lord is working in their lives. They're just trying to please a man instead of pleasing God. So I'm just putting that clarification in there because we need to be. They're ready to help that person get rid of those rocks. Does that make sense? You know, they find a weed in their life, well, I'll help you pull it out. You're dealing with a drug problem, I'll help you. I'll counsel you, I'll talk with you so that I can win you to Christ. There was an old lady that came to church several years ago, and the church got to help her clean, her husband or partner died, terrible thing. The church got to help her get her life back on track in a physical sense. All right? Clean up the house, sell things, tidy things up. Lots of you guys jumped in on that to help her out. And those were ways that we could help remove distractions and burdens around her so that she was then, wow, what is God doing in that church? And she started coming, and she came for a year or two. And that was a blessing. It was an opportunity the church had to help her. Sowing while also helping remove the obstacles in the field there. So sometimes we need to do hospital visits. Sometimes we need to get chased by dogs. The girls got chased by a little yappy dog yesterday, ladder boxing. Sometimes we need to befriend the smelly people. We need to give clothes to others. You know, That's the money God gave me. That's the stuff God gave me. Why should I give it to someone else? Well, then you have that passage there in James where it talks about we can show our faith by the things we do to others there. We need to help the needy. Help the old lady fix up her yard so that she can be able to manage her life there. And we do this so that we can win others to Christ. A farmer doesn't just sow the seed, he also labours in the field, but God gives the increase. All right. Let's go to John chapter 19. John chapter 19 and verse 21. Then said Jesus to them again, "Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." That's the last of the five accounts of the Great Commission that we're reading just now. "Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." So the Lord gives us, that's a command passage, isn't it? It's an order. We're in the army of the Lord, and the God, our commander, has given us the command to go and preach and teach. But the question is, will we obey the command, and will we go? Like we said, this isn't just for the 11 disciples. It's not just for the pastor, the deacons, or even the Sunday school teachers and youth group leaders. That's a command to every Christian in the church, every Christian on this earth, to go and spread the gospel. So the question is, will I obey? Will I go? Now, I'm just going to jump back to a bit of personal testimony here, in that I got saved when I was 11. I got saved on the Monday night of camp there at Tanham Sands. But before I was saved, my mum and dad taught us about missionaries and taught us about... Mum had a plan for us. She had alternative motives that someone in the family was going to become a missionary. And so she was teaching us about being missionaries. And my older sister, Rachel, she's 10 years something older than me, and she was already out doing missions trips and serving the Lord. And so I had this passion about serving the Lord. I didn't realize I was still lost. I didn't realize I wasn't yet saved. I thought I was, but I'd made a false profession, or I'd made several false professions at that point. But when I did get saved there at camp, and the Lord worked on my heart and revealed to me that I needed to call on Him for true salvation and put my faith and trust in Him, the end of that week, the preacher preached on serving the Lord on the Friday night, and that's when I said, well, you know, I want to do this. I want to commit to this. So I was 11 when I said, Lord, I'm willing to go as a missionary. Now, it's taken a long time for me to sort of understand what God would have me to do. All right, where God would have me to be. For most of this time, I've thought God would have me to just be doing local missions here in Jerusalem, in the local church. But when this opportunity to start this, or to work with these people down here in Cairns, the Lord has really clarified that He'd have us go elsewhere and go further. And this is a burden that me and Lauren both have had, especially in the last couple of years, that we would like to serve the Lord more and be more involved in the ministry. We've been involved in the ministry for a long time now, but we want to get more involved. We've done Sunday school teaching and RI teaching and youth group teaching and been in the music ministry and camp, and there's different, been a deacon and things like that, done a lot of missions trips. But we would think the Lord would have us to go do a work down there in Cairns in His name. So that's where the Lord has challenged us to be at, and what the Lord is working in our hearts to be doing. And like I said earlier, it's not happening tomorrow. Okay, this is a goal that we're working towards, and the church is working towards. And again, we haven't really put our hands up to the people down there in Cairns. We've been working with them. But we have, but at this point, we're waiting for Melinda, the church here, to be willing to send us, okay, before we volunteer to go to them. So there's a lot of things still happening in the pipeline. It's not a done and dusted deal yet. But there is a challenge for us, and there's a challenge for you guys. Have we answered the Lord's commission? Have we answered the command? Did we say, yes, Lord, I will go? Will I go and preach in the Jerusalem, Lord, that you've given me to preach at? Or, Lord, in the Samaria or in the Judea? Or, Lord, would you have me to go overseas? What would you have me to do, Lord? And I guess the thought there is, are we willing to do that? Are we willing to go?